In the scripture passage that we'll consider today, we'll observe some of the most intimate of sufferings of our Lord Jesus. And we'll also think about some of our own kinds of sufferings. And yes, each of us is very familiar with the many kinds of suffering. But for clarity, please bear with me as I go ahead and mention some of those sufferings and their effects on us. First of all, yes, suffering is almost always difficult, sometimes very painful. And it's most often unique in the way that it affects each of us. And suffering doesn't always look the same. It comes packaged in many different forms that are unique to its causes and unique to each one of us. During our lifetime, it's certain that we will encounter physical suffering, and they are most always accompanied by emotional distresses. Our bodies are weak, and we're susceptible to so many different kinds of injuries and diseases, and they all bring miseries to our souls. For me, in my human condition, probably the most painful of all of the sufferings that I have endured are the sufferings of grief, that I feel because of the death of someone that I love. Grief is a very special and never-ending kind of suffering. And yes, also, as a Christian, I often suffer the kinds of sufferings that the Apostle Paul spoke about there in Romans chapter 7. As he contended with his own wretched soul for all the many times that he kept doing the sinful things that he knew he should not do, and for not doing the right and righteous things that he knew that he should do. I have suffered those sufferings so often. And yes, also, I often suffer as I watch my dear loved ones, my children, my grandchildren, and other dear ones take wrong, sinful paths in their daily behaviors, bringing suffering to them and to their families. And yes, those are all very, very painful sufferings. And yes, many of them are common within our relationships with our Lord and with our loved ones. But folks, within all of the private and intimate sufferings that we ourselves endure each day, we really do need to be able to humbly turn our eyes away from our own selves and our own sufferings, and to realize and to recognize and to embrace that our Lord, the Lord Jesus, has endured far greater sufferings for all of those same people and all of those same purposes. May I pause here for a moment and read our passage for today? And let's consider some of those sufferings that our Lord endured. These words are given to us in Luke chapter 22. And there, beginning in verse 39, we read, "And he," this is the Lord Jesus, "and he came out and he went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, 'Pray that you may not enter into temptation.' And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw. And he knelt down and he prayed, saying, 'Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.' And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat became like great drops of blood, falling down to the ground. And when he arose from prayer, he came to the disciples, and he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, 'Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation.'" Folks, as we from a distance observe these struggles taking place in the life of our Lord Jesus, we wonder about all the things that might have been going on deep within his heart, deep within his soul, his spirit, as he suffered. And he did suffer, and often, and in many ways. And sin was the ever-present culprit. Not his own sin, but all of the many sins of the people that he needed to atone for. We see that spoken about over and over again, both in the prophecies of the Old Testament and in the writings of the New Testament. With these words here revealing only the beginning of some of the worst of those sufferings. And what were those sufferings? And why is it important? Why is it important that you and I know about them? And not just about them, but to be ever so intimately acquainted with his sufferings that we'll suffer with him. May we begin to answer that question by first considering the why part of the question. The why. Why do we need to know about and to have an intimate acquaintance with those deep and difficult sufferings that the Lord Jesus endured? We need to know the why of his sufferings because his sufferings were endured for us. For us, for you and for me, and for our loved ones. Because of those things that we've done. Because of those things that we have done. Sins that we have personally and individually been a part of. And also for all those many things that we should have done, but didn't do. Sins that have been put to our account. Sins for which we owe a debt of recompense. And folks, that recompense is a very, very serious one. A very serious one. It is death, eternal death. Romans 6:23 tells us plainly that the wages of sin is death. And by the Lord Jesus enduring our suffering for us, paying our recompense, we'll not have to endure that suffering ourselves. May I remind us again that if you and I, had to suffer our own sufferings, we would surely perish. We would surely perish. And why is that? It's because we can't pay the penalty that's due for the sins that reside within us. That penalty is far too great for any man or any woman to bear. That is, except for the one man, the Lord Jesus. He and he alone has the value and the worth enough to pay for the debt of our sins. Let me say that again. He and he alone is of value and worth that is enough to be able to pay the debt for our sin. We may not understand that, but that's truth. But also, along with that so very important reason, there's another reason that we should know the why of his suffering. It's because he wants you and me to participate with him in certain parts of that suffering. And no, we can't save people as he can. And he's not asking us to have nails driven into our hands and feet. But there are other parts of his sufferings that we can take a part in. And he wants us to reach forward and to embrace our part willingly and eagerly and joyfully. Listen to the way that the Apostle Paul says it in Colossians 1:24. There he tells us, "Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh that which is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church." And then also over in Philippians 3:10 we read, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death." Then also, as the Apostle Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake in Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." Folks, exhortations such as these are repeated over and over and over again in these scriptures, urging us on to accept and to embrace many of the same sufferings that our dear Savior suffered. And we must. So then, what were those sufferings of Christ that we need to take part in? We know that he suffered physically. We speak often about his cruel treatment at the hands of the Romans, the unmerciful beatings and the agony of being nailed to the cross. But we, in our day, most likely will not suffer those kinds of sufferings, though many during his day did. Lashes and crucifixions were a favorite method of torture and death inflicted by those Romans. Perhaps in the very end of days spoken about in the book of Revelation, should we be alive to experience those days, we might suffer similar sufferings. And those days are said to be more awful than we can imagine. But even then, we must simply count it a privilege to join with Christ in his death. And we need to be careful and not to be confused about some of the ordinary kinds of physical sufferings that we might endure. Cancer, strokes, heart disease, and sufferings like that. Many want to use the expression, well, this is just my cross to bear. But folks, many of those ordinary sufferings are not usually for righteous reasons. They're usually just an inevitable cost of being alive. An inevitable cost of being alive. No, Jesus' sufferings, both physical and spiritual, were inseparably linked to each other and were part of a well-devised, far-reaching plan and purpose. A plan and a purpose that had to do with the why of the suffering that I spoke about a moment ago. Sufferings that were a part of the God side of who Jesus was. And they were for the benefit of other people. For the benefit of other people. By that, I mean, Jesus was inseparably both Son of God and Son of Man. And the sufferings that he suffered most severely had to do with the manner in which those two inseparable sides of him dealt with the wretchedness of sin that fills the hearts and the souls of ordinary men and women like you and me. And I believe that the struggle that we see taking place there in the Garden of Gethsemane as he sweated great drops of blood was the great compassion that he had for mankind. The great compassion that he had for us. Being a man and being filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus knew well that each person truly was filled with and consumed by the wretchedness of sin. We have an expression that's used in today's culture, and I believe wrongly so, seemingly always in a flippant manner. That expression is, I feel your pain. I feel your pain. But folks, listen, Jesus really could. And in the most perfect of ways, he really could feel our pain. He could feel the overwhelming weight that sin brought into the hearts and into the souls of men. Yes, Jesus, the pure and holy God who knew no manner of sin for himself, was willingly reaching forward to us to feel the effects of our sin and to eventually actually take our sins away from us and into his own flesh. And there in the Garden of Gethsemane, even before he was crucified, he was beginning to do exactly that, to feel the utter wretchedness of it all. He who knew no sin would utterly and completely become sin for you and me. And his suffering was almost too much for his human body to bear. And so he sweated great drops of blood. And again, fellow Christian, you and I are not able to actually suffer those same sufferings, or even to really comprehend them. They're much too spiritual for us to understand. But listen, we really must begin to try, because that's what these verses are all about. That's what these verses are calling us to do. Let me read those again. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Now I rejoice in what I'm suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. And then in Philippians 3:10, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. And listen, and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. And then also, as the Apostle Peter said those words in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you participate in Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." And again, folks, while you and I must never try to be a savior, there really is a depth of suffering that we need to be willing to endure. These precious words of Scripture, they are real and they are true, and they urge us on to take up where Jesus left off. Yes, Jesus paid it all. He paid it all, the full and complete debt for all of our sins. But there's still a lot of healing needed within the souls of our fellow believers. A lot of healing. And you and I are commanded to reach into the lives of those suffering ones, suffering with them in their sufferings, giving them hope and helping them to heal. And again, we must not just endure sufferings, but we must joyfully embrace it. Those words in Philippians 3 explicitly use the words, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering." We have to want to. We have to embrace the suffering that we encounter. And yes, yes, that is strange to our thinking. And most Christians might reject it. But was that not exactly what the Lord Jesus, long before he came to be among us on this earth, he knew well that he would suffer those sufferings. Recall that only a few hours earlier, as he and his disciples were alone in the upper room, Jesus had said to them there in Luke chapter 22, verse 15, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Jesus willingly embraced all that he was about to endure. And we must not be confused when we read words like those where he prayed that, "Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Now, it's true, these words really do not seem as if Jesus was fervently desiring and embracing the ultimate suffering that lay just ahead for him. But he was. Folks, he was. He was. And why? It's because he knew the real truth behind it all. He knew that it would be worth it all. Because these and other sufferings like them that we read about there, like those in Hebrews chapter 12, listen to these words. "He who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus knew that it would be worth whatever suffering he would have to endure. May I say that another way? May I say that another way? Jesus knew that we, you and I, were worth whatever it would take to save us. He and the Father and the Holy Spirit loved us that much. They loved us that much. And that is the kind of love and commitment that you and I will need to embrace. The kind of love that will suffer any amount of suffering so that others might be saved. So that others might gain. And again, what is the deeper truth that lies behind these words? It's that the alternative, death without the salvation of Christ, is eternal sufferings in the awful burning pits of hell. It is that serious and it is that needful. And really, whatever amount of suffering that we might find ourselves suffering in this life can't be compared to the sufferings of eternal death in hell. And so as we then observe the Lord Jesus suffering here in the garden, we need to know that it was for us. It was for us, you and me, because we are worth it to him. We are worth it to him. Now, one last consideration of these words before we close. The privilege that is ours in seeing the great suffering that Jesus endured there in the garden was very purposeful for our own future suffering. Jesus knew all that lay ahead for him, both the spiritual suffering and the physical suffering. And he knew that he needed to deal with the impact that all of his suffering would have upon his body, his soul, upon his spirit. And he knew that he needed to prepare himself for all that was about to take place. Consider, folks, in human terms, what might have taken place if Jesus had not taken this time away for intimate prayer with God the Father, and had never prepared himself for the suffering he was about to endure, but he had perhaps simply stayed busy witnessing and healing and preaching. What would his response have been as those soldiers came to get him, and as Judas kissed him there with that kiss of death? And what would have taken place in his heart and mind as he was beaten and then mercilessly thrown down on that cross and nailed there? What if he had been surprised by it all? Would he have cried out to those men, "But I didn't do anything wrong"? No, he would not have done that. He would not have done that. But it surely would have been what you and I would have done. It would have been what you and I would have done, especially if we had not taken time to pray through and to prepare our hearts and our minds for that awful suffering. Thankfully, Jesus did. And he left these written words so that you and I could read them and know what we are to do when we're called to suffer. He got alone with God, his Father, and he dealt fully and completely with all that would come to pass during those next 3 days. Nothing would surprise him. He went back over all that he and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit had agreed upon back there in the Trinity, back before time had ever began. And yes, it was still very difficult that night there in the garden. And the days ahead would be even more so. But because he took the time to deal with his suffering ahead of time, he would suffer well. He would suffer well as they beat him and as they crucified him. And so it should be for you and me. We must be faithful to get ourselves alone with God the Father on a regular basis, and to pray and to discuss with him all the sufferings that we know that we will surely endure. Because sufferings will surely come if we are faithful in our service to Christ. But with all that being said, we will also, folks, we will also joyfully go about living our daily lives, because those who abide in Christ and in his great mercies really do live a life of joy unspeakable. And he will give us that joy if we are willing to suffer with him. And no, I really don't know how God does such things within our souls, joining suffering and joy all together into an impassioned life. But he will surely do it. He will surely do it if we will only remain faithful to him. Now, one last thought and we'll close. By all of the intimate sufferings that our Lord was enduring for us, he was demonstrating for us that our loved ones are worth any and every suffering that we might have to endure for them, so that they might have the same eternal life that we have in our Lord. And so we must be willing to suffer as our Lord Jesus did. We must. Hear these words from Philippians chapter 3 again, and we'll close. Verse 10. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Pray with me, will you? Oh, dear Father, we confess that we may not do well during our sufferings, but we really want to, And Holy Spirit, we want to ask you to fill our hearts and our souls with yourself. Dear Father, pour out your Spirit upon us so that we will endure sufferings well, as the Lord Jesus did. We pray this in his name. Amen.